Alrighty, good evening. Here's the announcement. I'm speaking tonight. Oh, and I'm speaking Sunday too. Sunday morning. Evening meeting at 7 o'clock Sunday night. And then we want to remind everyone of the men interested in the Bible study, October 4th. We will be starting back up. Jeremiah 21. So please keep that in mind. We had some good studies last spring, fall, winter. Take the summer off usually. And we had a good time looking into Jeremiah. Now in my reading, I know a lot of us endeavor to read God's Word through every year. I do the same. In my reading right now, I'm in Luke. But my studies have been a little more in like Hebrews. I've been spent a lot of time in Hebrews, mainly in the later chapters. But I was reading through some stuff again with some notes, and Hebrews 4:12 stuck out in my head. And we all know Hebrews 4:12, I think, pretty well. It's, you know, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I can see my mother's training to hear, which means I'm not speaking long enough. Oh, I'll try. There we go. Is it better? Okay, good. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, talk about a little bit about God's Word tonight. And we're all familiar with God's Word, but it's always good to me to remind ourselves how important it is. A lot of times when I'm speaking, I have a tendency to exhort. I guess that's my gift. Maybe it's not always well received, but that's what it is. And I like to try and encourage, you know, and I always say sometimes I may sound like a broken record, but how important it is for us to stay in God's Word, to stay in prayer, to stay close to Him. I hope it's an encouragement. That's what it's meant to be, because it's so important. I'm going to read a whole list of verses here. There's about 10 of them. I'm not going to say the reference. I'm just going to read them because I put them in an order that I kind of think kind of flows together. If they're from all over God's Word, and then we'll maybe talk about them a little more individually if I have the time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to open your Word together. We just pray that as we consider these verses, that you might bless our time and the prayer time to follow. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, those verses, if we look a little more in depth, I think we all know the first one was John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus the anointed one. We talked a little bit Sunday morning, the Lord's Supper, about the anointed Christ. He's the one that God chose, poured all of his goodness and fullness of the Godhead into that body, and sent him here to be the anointed one, the one that would save his people from their sins. The understanding that he is God in the flesh, and it's how important that is for us to remember that. And that's just Sunday mornings, but in our daily walk, to consider the fact that the person that indwells me, the Spirit indwells me, but it also says, Christ also says, my Father and I will come and make our abode with him, with that person. He's with us. And we have to remember, I have to remember, how important it is that he is God. Almighty God, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, one who provides all things. El Olam, the great physician. All those things, all the names that God has. You ever study God's names? It's a wonderful study. And he's an amazing being, and he indwells us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was in the beginning with God. He is, we read in Hebrews 1:3 that he is the exact representation of God in the express image of his person. And he existed from eternity past. You know, the how, we don't understand the how. We can't get our finite minds around those things, but we must accept that he is. You know, in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. And I'm not going to say the rest of it because I'll get it out of order. But I know Tim knows that he's smiling. But anyways, the fact that God was manifest in the flesh, amazing stuff. We should be excited about that. We should be excited about the fact that God was willing to reach out to us when we were lost without any hope. And from eternity past, he planned all of it for our benefit, that we might, that the fellowship that we was broken might be restored. Amazing stuff. The hymn came to mind, Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son. I knew he was going to do that. God manifestly seen and heard, heaven's most glorious. It's 127 anyway, on the black book. I should have brought it up here with me, open already. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved One. Worthy, O Lamb of God art Thou, that every knee to Thee should bow. How often in our life, as we're, you know what I was doing at work today? I was stacking pallets. We were a little short of people, and I had to try and keep my line running. How often did I think about bowing my knee to God, thanking Him for what I was doing? Nah, probably not, because, you know, it was a lot of hard work, and I wasn't concentrating on those things. But that's the kind of attitude we should have. In whatever we do, is that every knee should bow, that he is the Creator God, and he's with me. Amazing. Amazing. Revelation 19:13 says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You know, another hymn I thought of, and I thought it was in our book, but apparently it might be in the green one that we had before this, The Love of God. Oh, love of God, I like the last verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You know, and the last verse of the Gospel of John says, you know, if everything that Christ did was written, then not even all the books in the world could hold it. And yet, right here, in your hands, and in my hands, we have the expression of the love of God. The complete love of God. Right here. So we take this book, and we look at Hebrews 4:12. And we see that it is alive, right? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I like that when it says sharper than any two-edged sword, because what do I think of? What verse do you think of? Revelation 1:16, He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You know what? It's really good to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We should all, you know, we heard that, I think, I don't know if Dan said it, Sunday or Jason, but we preach Christ and Him crucified. You know, I'm not going to talk too much about Him crucified tonight, but the idea of preaching Christ, you know, talking about our Savior, the one who gave everything for us, who gave up His own life that we might live forever. So, reading God's Word has a filtering effect. The more time you spend in God's Word, it cleans out all the, you know, the things enter in any your life. Your, you know, just some normal everyday thing, reading the newspaper, hearing stuff on the radio, you know, seeing a billboard that's not very, you know, edifying, things that sink into our heads. And the God's Word helps clean all that stuff out. So important for us to remember that. It's alive. It's a living Word. It's active. I've heard other people say it. I say it. Every time I read it, almost every time I read it, I find something new. Something that I've never seen before. You know, and I always think that's just, you know, as we grow in the Lord, He just reveals more stuff to us than when as we're ready to be able to handle it. But it's so exciting to read. I know I've said this before, but I can honestly say, and it's not bragging, it's just that when I sit down to read, that's the first thing I grab now, is God's Word. Sometimes I've already read it two or three times, and I'll say, you know what, I'm working on another book. I could read that for a little while. You know, it's an exciting book. If it's exciting to you, you won't put it down. And it really is a great thing to look into and to learn about. It's powerful. It says, the energizer of the believer, the battery that keeps us going is right here. God's Word. It's sharp and it pierces. Reveals our true condition. Sometimes that's difficult to do. Sometimes it's difficult to read God's Word because we know what we're going to find in it, especially if we've done something or we're not exactly where we need to be with the Lord and we know it. God's Word can help find that problem and put the magnifying glass on it. Sees the invisible parts of who we are, the stuff that's on the inside. Guides us. I like this, the joints and marrow. I think of that. It guides us in the way in our walk, right? We walk with joints, our knee joints, our hip joints, and then it nourishes us. And then we can think of that as the marrow, right? The marrow is where all of our blood is built and made, and it's the living part inside the bones. It's the innermost part of us. So God's Word helps us in our outward walk and provides our inward nourishment. And it judges the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So interesting that God's Word judges us. We do not judge it. Hopefully we discern it well and properly, and we do so through prayer and through understanding it and reading it. But it shows us who we are and where we are right now. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So we know that it was inspired by God. God breathed. It's amazing to me when I consider the fact that I'm holding in my hands the book that was written by God. Yes, I know men penned it, but who is the Spirit leading those men, and there is no other book on earth that can say that, that this was written by God. And I think of Moses on the mountain, and it says that God described those commandments with his own finger. You know, and I have all the law and the prophets, and the good news of the gospel right here, all penned by God. Amazing stuff. So we have everything that we need right here in this book. You know, 2 Peter 1:21 talks about inspiration, but it all in 1:3 and 4, it said He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. All right, so. My mother told me I wouldn't get through all this. She says, you're going to read all those verses and still get done in time? Yeah, well, I'll try. We've been talking on Sunday mornings about wisdom. And then one verse I read was Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all that getting. Get understanding. This is where we get it from. Lord willing, Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of man, the wisdom of God. And how we get that and how it comes about. And this is the big part of it. Study to show thyself approved. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the only way we understand it, is to study it, to live it, to breathe it. We are to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And it all shows us how to do that right out of this book. Psalm 119, the whole thing is about God's word. But verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know what? It's difficult out in the world. We know that. It's difficult as we go about our walk. If we're truly wanting to live his life, and we're still bound by these sinful bodies, and it's difficult for us, but if we keep this with us, whether it's physically with us or whether it's up here, where it should be, and in here, you know, it certainly helps us. You know, we sin. It happens. You know, we get angry or something happens, or a stray thought goes through our head. It happens, but it can happen less and less the more time we spend in this, and the more that we hold it dear, and we should. And it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we don't have to go into that because it's pretty self-explanatory. And I read Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You know, it talks about meditating on it day and night. One of the nice things I like about the drive to work is the chance of being able to meditate on God's word, things that I've read that morning or maybe thought about during the day. You know, to be able to meditate on what he has for us. And that's how, you know, it helps to soak in. You know, we can read it, but when we think about it and we spend time thinking about what he's told us, it really helps. And it makes our way prosperous. And that doesn't mean we're going to have a lot of money and have that kind of prosperous. It just helps us fit us for the kingdom. And that's what we look forward to. You know, in Psalm 1:1-2, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. How important it is to do that. And the last verse I read was John 1:14. The word was made flesh. Hallelujah. Amazing stuff. I know I've said that about 14 times right tonight. That phrase, amazing stuff. But it is. It really is. To consider the fact that God would come here in the form of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and dwell among us. I think about the children of Israel and how God wasn't going to go with them. They were rebels. Right? And Moses said, show me your glory. And, you know, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. You know, and he reveals himself to Moses. And what does Moses say? He pleads with God. He says, you have to go with us. You have to go with us. You know, and he did. Right? And he dwelt in the middle of the camp, in the tabernacle. And you know, how privileged it is as believers that God walks with us. And he was willing to come here physically in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ and dwell among sinful men. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know what? I'm going to stop because if I keep going, I'm going to go too long. There was a whole another section about being prepared and using this book and being willing. I was going to talk about David and Goliath a little bit, but just I hope that's an encouragement to, you know, I'm quite sure we all spend time in God's Word, and I just hope that we'll spend more time in it as we can, because it is so important. You know, I always like when I have some thoughts and then I read something that validates what I was thinking about this morning, the Choice Gleanings, if any of you read it. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. It's 1 Timothy 4:13. You know, and how important it is, those three things, reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Interesting that the first one is reading. So, just a few thoughts on God's Word. I hope they're encouraging to everyone.